Isn't it great that the basics of the Christian faith are so very clear and easy to understand? You have been saved through grace alone. Salvation is a free gift from God. It can't be earned. It's a gift. And that free gift is received by faith alone. You simply believe God's message. You don't have to work for it. Simply believe. Put your trust in Him alone. And that's the third aspect of it. Our faith is expressed in Jesus Christ alone. There is salvation in no one else, only in Jesus. He's the only way to God. He's the life from God. He's the truth about God. Those things are real and simple and clear and plain. But not everything in the Bible is just like that. Not everything in the Bible is clear. When the Bible comes to speak about God's laws and His commands, it doesn't always mean the same thing when it uses the word law or command. There are varieties of meanings. And that's important to know when we come to this passage that we're looking at today, the first half of chapter 2 of James. And in that passage, the word law is used in two different ways. They're completely different. And if you don't understand that, you miss out on one aspect of this chapter. So if you've got your Bibles there, please open them to page 1173, James chapter 2. 1173 is the page number. And I want to read a section of this passage just to show you what I mean about the word law being used in two different ways. From verse 9 of James chapter 2. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not commit murder." If you commit adultery but do not commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. In those words, James is quoting a couple of Old Testament commandments. So James is speaking of the Old Testament law that says you have to be 100% perfect or you fail. If you disobey in any aspect of the law, you miss out completely. And that's the law that the Apostle Paul so often speaks about in his letters. The law that cannot save. The law that can only condemn, because it shows how you and me just fall so far short of complete obedience to God. But in verse 8, it says a different thing. It says, if you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. In verse 12, that law is spoken about as described there as a law that gives freedom or the law of liberty. So it's a different law. James uses those terms to contrast with the Old Testament law. James is saying the royal law is the law of the kingdom of God, the law of the kingdom in which Jesus is the king. It's a law of liberty, a law that doesn't judge and condemn. It's a law that gives freedom from condemnation. It's a law that is merciful. It's a law that empowers you to keep it. You see, the royal law is the same law as that which Jesus summarized when he says, love one another. Listen to how the Apostle John describes it. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God. by loving God and keeping his commandments. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus' commandments are very different from the Old Testament commandments. Even though they sound the same, they are very different because they're not burdensome. Because he gives his Holy Spirit to you who trust in him to empower and enable you to obey. And so that I can say of you with the Apostle Paul, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for you who are found in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit gives you life that has set you free from the law of sin and death. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the same command is given: love the Lord your God with all of your being, and love your neighbour as yourself, or selflessly. The difference between the Old Testament law of saying that thing and the New Testament is the Old Testament had no power in it to enable you to obey that commandment. But in the New Testament, Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit, who lives in you to enable you and to empower you to love both God and people. So it's with that understanding, the understanding that the royal law, the New Testament law, the law brought in by Jesus is not different in its words, but it's different in the fact that he's given you the Holy Spirit to empower you to obey it. And here in this chapter, the first part of this chapter, Jesus is speaking about showing favoritism. You can see that in verse 1. And he uses a specific example about wealth and money. It is the rich versus the poor. And if you read the whole of the book of James, you see that James doesn't have very much good to say about the rich. The rich are the bad guys. Listen to these parts of what James writes. In the same way that the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed, so the rich fade away even while they go about their business. Or in chapter 5. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed their fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. And so I want to ask you, you don't have to yell out the answer, but just think about it. Do you see yourself as being rich or poor? Most of us say we don't want to be rich. Oh, sorry, no. We might say we want to be rich, but we're not rich. But let me tell you, compared to the world as a whole, you are rich. Let me tell you why. We have cars, or at least we have transport. Most of the world doesn't. We have education. Many in the world are uneducated, or only to a limited extent. We have doctors and health facilities and a good health system. Most of the world doesn't. We have government support, welfare, pensions and so forth. That's something that only happens in small parts of the world. We have social support from government and from other organisations. So compared to the world, we are rich. But in our community, compared to the community as a whole, many of us are also poor. And especially in regards to some of the things spoken about in this chapter. We have very little ability to fight for ourselves and to defend ourselves against the big guy, the government, big business, the media. We're powerless against their power. So let's see what we can see, what James says to us in this situation. In your new sheet, there's a couple of points there. I'm going to follow that sort of pattern. Showing favoritism is wrong, says James, because it is discrimination. So when you come to church, who do you favour? Is there someone you speak to every Sunday? Is there someone you don't speak to? Think back to when we had used to meet for morning tea, and I hope there's a time coming when we can meet again for morning tea after church. Was there someone you like to sit next to and to talk to, and someone else that you rarely ever sat beside and talked to? Now, you might act in that sort of way because there's someone particular who's a special friend of yours and you want to talk to them. And that's fine, that's fine. You might not sit next to another person or talk to them because you don't really know them. And in that sense, that's fine too. But what if it goes deeper than that? James says, suppose a person comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor person in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the person wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat to sit, and say to the poor person, stand over there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts or motives? I want to take you back to school, particularly when it came time for two teams to be selected. And you're all lined up there, and there are two people out the front choosing who was going to be on their team. A horrible time, wasn't it? Especially if you're not good at whatever you're being chosen for. They would choose or favour, the leaders would favour those who are good at that sport or whatever, that activity. And the rest of us weren't favoured. In terms of this, we were discriminated against. And the question is, who do you favour and prefer? When you and I prefer to spend time with another person or favour them because they're wealthy or well-dressed or because they're powerful in the community or because they have connections, and when we avoid other people because they're not in that bracket, they don't dress well, they're difficult to understand, maybe because they smell badly or we just don't like them, then God's word is we have discriminated about them with evil thoughts and motives. The passage then goes on to talk about favouritism. Showing favouritism is wrong not only because it's discrimination, but because it dishonours the poor or the person discriminated against. It insults them. Verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Remember what Jesus said? Blessed are you who are poor, for yours, or to you, belongs the kingdom of heaven. But when we favour the rich and the powerful, we're dishonouring those whom God has chosen to inherit his kingdom. We're insulting those who love Jesus. Who is it who exploits you? The rich or the poor? Obviously it's the rich. Who is those who drag you in the court? It's the rich, it's not the poor, is it? The poor don't have money or power or the ability to exploit you or to sue you. And so often the rich also blaspheme the name of Jesus because they feel that they don't need him. They are powerful and wealthy enough to get whatever they want. They don't need Jesus. But remember what is said of Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might be rich. So when you or I favour the rich and powerful and beautiful, we dishonour the and insult both the noble name of Jesus and the poor. And showing favouritism is wrong not only because it's discrimination and because it dishonours and insults the poor, but also because it breaks the law. Verse 8. If you really kept the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. By showing favouritism, by preferring to associate with those who are wealthy or beautiful or powerful, you and I are breaking God's law, his royal law. That law is indivisible. It's not like a heap of rocks from which you can take out one rock and the heap remains more or less intact. It's like a plate glass window that somebody's thrown a brick at. And the brick has shattered the whole lot. It is completely broken. And what is that royal law? It's what Jesus spoke about in Matthew 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. And now James is saying that is the royal law, also called the law of liberty or the law that frees. It will come in judgment on you, on me, when and if we show favoritism. It will judge us without mercy because we have failed to be merciful to the poor. We have judged the poor. We have excluded them from our circle. We have refused to show them mercy. But the beautiful thing about this passage is James doesn't just say, don't show favouritism. He wants us to show us Christ's way to live. And so Christ calls you, he calls me, to love other people equally, regardless of whether they are rich or poor. I want to read you the first statement in each of the paragraphs in this passage. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favouritism. Verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he has promised those who love him? Verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. Verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Why are we as followers of Jesus not to show favoritism? Because Jesus is a friend of both the rich and the poor. Jesus met with a very rich man called Nicodemus and answered his questions. He met with the lowest of the poor, the lepers, the blind beggars. He met with a demon-possessed man who ran around naked in a graveyard. Why are we, as followers of Jesus, not to show favoritism? Because Jesus said, love your neighbour as yourself, regardless of who your neighbour is, rich or poor. Why are we, as followers of Jesus, not to show favouritism? Because Jesus was merciful to you and said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown, for they will be shown mercy. I remember an alcoholic who came to church. He came to church during the week. The church was locked up, but there was someone around on the church premises. And he asked to go into the church to pray. And so the church was opened up. He went in. Presumably he prayed, I don't know. Because of a couple of Christian women, he was enabled to enroll at TAFE. He was a man at least in his 60s or 70s, I don't know. And he went to TAFE, and for the first time in his life, he learned to read and write English, even though he had lived in Australia for about 30 years. He came to church, often smelling of alcohol, and followers of Jesus sat with him and talked with him. When he developed cancer, others within the church took him to receive chemotherapy. After 4 years of friendship, on his deathbed, he turned to Jesus, whom previously he had strenuously rejected. He was shown mercy by people I know and some whom I will never know. And he received mercy from Jesus. But can I say that James here says that those people who showed mercy to Jacob will receive mercy from Jesus. I don't know if there are others in the church who overlooked him and rejected Jacob. But James writes here that if they did, in spite of their Christian declarations, they will receive judgment without mercy from God because they did not show mercy. Let me close by telling you that you can't fulfill these words. You can't love God with your whole being. You can't love your neighbour selflessly. You can't show mercy without fail. And yet, if you are a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ, if you have received mercy from Jesus, then you have been given the resource that is powerful to do in and through you what you can't do yourself. You have been given God's powerful Holy Spirit. And listen to this promise from Jesus. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or think or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, both now and forever. God's Holy Spirit lives within you to enable and empower you to love other people, whether they are rich or poor or somewhere in the middle, with the love and mercy of Jesus. He will enable mercy to triumph over judgment in your life, that you might show mercy to others and receive his eternal mercy. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy to us, your children. So fill us with your Holy Spirit that that mercy might overflow from us to others. And whoever they are, we might love them with your love, that your love might flow out through us to them too. Do that great work in us, we pray, towards others, through Jesus, our mighty Lord and Saviour. Amen. Let's praise the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, now and forevermore. Amen.